spruce me up.
Spruce me up.
Brings the anointing.
I guess spruce him up. Come on. The anointing.
Good morning, everybody. Well, my apologies this morning. I thought it was St. Patrick's Day. I'll get it right one day. Yeah. Well, what day is it? Valentine's Day, yes. Okay, yes. Well, how are we doing? Here it comes. Last week, Randy, who remembers the question Randy raised last week? Is the world getting better or worse? Now, I think it's coming up. Is it coming up, Dan? There it comes. There it goes. Number one. Press the one, enter. There it comes. Okay, while we're waiting. So who remembers the answer? Okay, so it depends on how you look at it, right? It depends on your perspective. Now, second slide. I think I can control it now. I need control. What's that?
We
all need control. We'll get there. We're going to get there. What's that? No power. There we go. Not yet. Randy, help. I want to show Randy's slide. Come on. It's all about Randy. Slide. Okay, I'm going to take a pause here. Let's have a moment of prayer. Oh, Lord, Yeshua. Okay. See, prayer always works. Not yet. More prayer. More power. Second one. No. The one with the duck? No. This is fun. See, in Hebrew the word's called savlanut. You know what savlanut means?
Yeah.
Patience. Try again. All right, thank you. Okay, so the point was, Randy's point was, it depends how you look at it. Now, I'm just curious, for those of you who were here last week, when you first saw this slide, what did you see, a duck or a rabbit? How many, raise your hand if you saw a duck. Wow, raise your hand if you saw a rabbit. The ducks win. I saw a duck too first. Okay, so it all depends how you look at it. So likewise, I want to ask, and you already got a sneak preview, I want to ask you another question, next slide. No. Yes. No, it's one before that. There we go. Our marriage is getting better or worse? How many of you would say better? How many of you would say worse? Okay, another way of asking that. Next slide. Is divorce on the increase or decrease? How many of you would say it's on the increase? How many of you would say it's decreasing? Okay, well, again, it depends on how you look at it. depends on your perspective, duck or rabbit. There was a study done a couple years ago, and this study said this: it is no longer true that the divorce rate is rising, or that half of all marriages end in divorce. It has not been for some time. Despite hand-wringing about the institution of marriage, marriages in this country are stronger today, thank you, than they have been for a long time. The divorce rate peaked in the 1970s and early 1980s and has been declining for the past 3 decades. Now, I read that, and I wasn't sure I believed it. And then I read this. But a new study, this is March 2014, using new data concludes that there was actually a substantial increase in divorce rates between 1990 and 2008 and have doubled over the past decades among persons over the age of 35. Among the youngest couples, however, divorce rates are stable or declining. But this is likely due to the fact that people are waiting longer to get married and cohabitations on the rise, resulting in fewer marriages. So it's kind of like both. You know, for the boomers, divorce is on the increase. Now, for younger couples, it's more stable and even declining. So is it a duck or a rabbit? Pardon me? But fewer people are getting married. Good point. So again, it all depends on how you look at it. So all that to say, happy Valentine's Day. Especially if we make it a celebration of love and marriage. Unless you live in Iran. How many of you heard the latest news? It is now a crime in Iran to celebrate the observance of Valentine's Day. It's hot off the press. Breaking news. Valentine's Day is against the law in Iran. Aren't you glad you don't live in Iran? Now, if you're anything like me, you probably wonder about Valentine's Day and why. Now, did you know that Valentine's Day is next to Christmas is the most celebrated American holiday?
Yeah.
It is. So if you're like me, you wonder, well, how did that happen? In fact, where did this whole thing called Valentine's Day even come from? Well, here's a little bit of history.
There's no doubt about it. Valentine's Day is one of America's most popular holidays. More than 62% of Americans celebrate by sending greeting cards and flowers, giving candy or other gifts, enjoying romantic dinners, or all three. But the history behind Valentine's Day turns out to be somewhat surprising. For example, the roots of Valentine's Day go all the way back to a raucous ancient Roman fertility festival held in mid-February called Lupercalia. Later, the Christian church chose mid-February for St. Valentine's Day in order to Christianize the celebration. But who was St. Valentine? Not much is known about the holiday's namesake. First of all, there was more than just one Christian cleric named Valentine. One of them was sentenced to death for performing marriage ceremonies in secret after Emperor Claudius II banned marriage for young Roman men, thinking single men made better soldiers. Pope Gelasius declared February 14 as a day for honoring the soft-hearted Valentine at the end of the 5th century. It wasn't until the 1300s, though, that the holiday became definitively associated with love and romance. Back then, people believed that February 14th was also the beginning of birds' mating season. The first written Valentine greetings appeared in the 15th century, and by the 17th century, people in Great Britain had begun a tradition of exchanging Valentine's Day cards or letters. Valentine's Day soon caught on in the U.S. as well. The first mass-produced holiday cards emerged in the 1840s, and Valentine's Day soon exploded into a major consumer holiday. Today, an estimated 1 billion Valentine cards are sent each year, more than on any other holiday except for Christmas. More than 35 million heart-shaped boxes of chocolate are sold, and more than 220 million roses are produced for the holiday in a typical year. Altogether, Americans spend almost $20 billion on Valentine's Day, or an average of some $130 per person per year. While the most popular gifts were candy and flowers, nearly 20% of Americans splurge on jewelry, shelling out as much as $4 billion annually. And those who prefer the ultimate romantic gesture are definitely not alone. A recent survey revealed that as many as 6 million couples are likely to get engaged on February 14th, continuing a long romantic history that we bet you didn't know.
Mark Holmes got married Valentine's Day. Happy anniversary. 4 years today. Happy anniversary. You know, I actually remember when my first Valentine that I gave away. I was going to Dickeyville Nursery School. How many of you know where Dickeyville is? That's right, Forest Park Avenue. That's where I went to nursery school. And I can see it in my mind's eye right now. I remember giving my first Valentine. And then I remember, you know, I don't know if you guys did this in grade school, but you give Valentine. Do they still do that in grade school? I don't know. Okay, they still do it. But I remember that, you know, the popular kids would get what? They would get the most Valentines, and you know, and some would get, you know, less, and some didn't get any at all. And, you know, don't you just feel bad for them? You know, but there's good news this morning. God's Valentine is not just for a few. And rumor has it that he came as a Jew. And he gave us this book written just for you. Come on. Now, I was going to ask Anthony Vesey to do that, you know, more. Where is Anthony here this morning? Andrew, I'm sorry. Andrew. Anthony. Where did I get that? But, yeah, so I'm going to give up rapping for the sake of letting Andrew do it. Okay, here we go. All right. So this morning, I want to look at one of those books. You already got a glimpse. The book of Hosea. And to discover its love language. Now, the book of Hosea has a love language. Anybody guess what language that is? Okay, Hebrew. And it's a very specific Hebrew word that Hosea and much of the Hebrew scriptures loves to use. And I want to ask a love question this morning. And the question is, am I learning to love? I ask myself that all the time. Am I learning to love? Are you learning to love? So if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open up to the book of Hosea. If you don't have a Bible, you can Google Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. Which says this, "When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, 'Go, marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her.'" Now think about this. It says, "When the Lord began to speak through Hosea." In other words, at the beginning of his prophetic ministry, at the very beginning of his ministry, God tells him to marry a promiscuous woman, knowing that she's going to leave him for another man. Can you imagine? You know, I would have said, "Lord, I'm not sure I'm really interested in the prophetic ministry. You know, could you give me a different ministry?" I mean, this is the beginning of his ministry. The Lord speaks to him. What's one of the first things the Lord tells him? Go marry a promiscuous woman, knowing that she's going to leave him for another man. There's a Hebrew word that says, "Hineni, here am I." I'm not sure what the opposite is. I would have said the opposite. I'm not here. I'm not available. In any means, I'm here. I'm available. I'm not sure. Lo hineni, I am not available. Now, when we pick up the story in chapter 3, his wife's name is what?
Gomer.
Gomer. Now, that could be reason, you know, for the problems in their marriage. I mean, remember Andy of Mayberry. You remember Gomer. I mean, how would you look? Now, he was a guy. That's a horrible name for a guy. How about if your wife's name was Gomer? Now, you might, before you got married, you might say, "Honey, can we consider changing your name? Gomer." Okay, well, when we pick up the story in chapter 3, Gomer has hit bottom, and she has bigger problems than just a goofy name. She's been transported from the frying pan of adultery into the fire of sexual slavery. In other words, and we'll see this later, she gave herself over to prostitution. She not only committed adultery, she became a prostitute. And we'll see how that is later, why that is. So Hosea How many of you know he had every legal right and moral right to divorce her? In fact, even according to the law of Moses, he could have had what done to her? He could have had her stoned. That's right. But Hosea was not about the letter of the law. He was about the law of love. The letter of the law said, divorce her, stone her. But the law of love says something different. And because of love, Hosea, he does the unthinkable. He goes to the brothel, he purchases her back, takes her home, and says to her, now you are mine. Chris, you were very prophetic this morning. Where'd you go, Chris? There you go. Yeah, very good. Remember, what did you share this morning? Mine forever, yes. And he says to her, now you are mine. I don't think most of us would be so inclined to do what Hosea did, but Hosea was called to demonstrate God's love for Israel and God's love for us. And the Hebrew word that describes God's love language, the Hebrew word is, somebody just said it. Say it louder, Dave. Chesed. Now, most of the time when you see it's written like this. But Dave, Randy, you just guys said it the right way. The right way is with that cha. So everybody say chesed. Chesed. Right. And wipe off the back of your neighbor's neck. Chesed. What is chesed? It's a love that will not let you go. I like that. Chesed is a love that will not let you go. Sometimes it's translated steadfast love or unfailing love or unshakable love. For example, Isaiah 54:10 says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love, chesed, for you will not be shaken. Lamentations 3:31-32. No one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing chesed, love. One definition reads like this. I like this. Chesed is a love so enduring that it persists beyond any sin or betrayal to mend brokenness and extend forgiveness because it's rooted in God's promise never to forsake us. Let me read that again. Chesed is a love so enduring that it persists beyond any sin or betrayal to mend brokenness and extend forgiveness because it's rooted in God's promise never to forsake us. Chesed. You ever hear of Thornton Wilder? He was a novelist, playwright. Remember one of the things he wrote? Our Town. Very good. Well, he said this in Grow Up, How Taking Responsibility Can Make You a Happy Adult. I like that. Grow Up, How Taking Responsibility Can Make You a Happy Adult. He said this. I married you because you gave me a promise. Everybody say promise. That promise made up for your faults. And the promise I gave you made up for mine. Two imperfect people got married. And it was the promise that made the marriage. And when our children were growing up, it wasn't a house that protected them, and it wasn't our love that protected them. It was that promise. So Wilder, he's reminding us that chesed, true love, is rooted in what? Promise. That can endure hurts, hurt feelings, and even fading feelings. Because love is more than something that we feel. Love is something that we do, no matter how we feel. Amen? Yeah. Now, try to imagine how Hosea, by the way, Hosea comes from the root word. Maybe you can figure this out. Yeshua. From the same word, that root word is Yeshua, which means salvation. That's right. So try to imagine how Hosea felt when he learned that his wife was living in a brothel. Wow. It's bad enough that she left him for another man, but now she's living in a brothel. And I can't imagine that he was feeling a whole lot of affection for her. How could he? I mean, she left him for another man. She publicly humiliated him, shamed him, left her. How many children? Three children. Left her three children. I mean, I can't imagine that he felt a whole lot of feelings, a whole lot of affection for her. Yet, the scripture says he still loved her. He still loved her. Chapter 3, verse 1 says this. Then the Lord said to me, go and love your wife again, even though she commits adultery with another lover. This will show that the Lord still loves Israel. Now, how could he do this? Because chesed is more than a passion, it's a promise. More than an emotion, it's an action. More than what we feel, it's what we do, no matter how we feel. It's an understanding of love that our culture has pretty much lost. Love has become, first and foremost, romance. Now, don't get me wrong. I love a nice candlelight dinner with my wife. Where is she? There she is. In fact, we're going to go to a nice dinner tonight. I would love to take a walk on the beach with my wife. In fact, I would really like to be back there walking that beach with my wife. I had hair back then. Only 23 years ago, on the beach of St. Thomas, I would love to be back there. But love has also come to describe the lonely housewife who leaves her boring husband because she fell in love with a mysterious stranger who was walking on that beach. And now she's discovered true love. But what happens when she falls out of love and she's lost that loving feeling? Well, it looks and it sounds something like this. Come on, sing along, come on.
You've lost that love.
Gone, gone, gone. Whoa. Now, what you may not know about that song, this is a bit of trivia, no extra charge. How many of you know who John Wimber is? Okay, John Wimber introduced, let me get the names right, Bobby Hatfield, Bill Medley, the Righteous Brothers. He introduced them. And they became the Paramours. And John Wimber was the keyboard player for them. And then a year later, they became the Righteous Brothers. Wow. Yeah. So, fact is, we can all lose that love and feeling, can't we? We often talk and especially sing about these things because even in worship, you know, we can lose that love and feeling even in our relationship with God. Can we? I mean, we often sing about God in, I would say, in something of a romantic way sometimes. And one song particularly comes to mind, I'm madly in love with you. How many of you know that song we sing? I'm madly in love with you. Now, I don't know if this is a Fred thing or a guy thing or whatever, but that's not the way I talk to the Lord. I don't go to my prayer time and say, Lord, I am madly in love with you. Now, I know some of you do. But and when we sing that song, I found myself kind of skipping over some of the words, you know? And then I start feeling a little guilty about it, like, well, maybe I've lost that loving feeling. I think I've lost my first love. I can't sing that song. Now, I don't know if any of you guys are a little bit like me, but if you are, I want to encourage you this morning. You haven't lost that loving feeling. You haven't fallen out of love. You are growing in love, because love isn't just a feeling, it's an action. It's something we do for God, even when we don't feel the emotion. Hello? Am I alone in this? Now, I'm not trying to say we shouldn't sing that song anymore, because I know many of you love that song. Go sing it away. But if you're a guy like me and you have a little bit of difficulty sometimes with some of those kinds of phrases, guess it's okay. You still love God. All right. Now, in marriage. Whose wedding was that? Was Rob and Donna, was it you challenged me, or was it yeah, it was you, you're right. Somebody, I don't know if it was you or somebody in your wedding. Was it you putting me up to it?
Yes.
Okay, I did their wedding, and somebody, I was challenged by John to stand up and say the first thing, marriage. And guess what? I can't believe it, but I actually did it. And somehow it worked. We had a lot of fun. Marriage. Okay. In marriage, hesed is a promise. I like this. A promise that endures the inconsistency of human emotions. In fact, you can even read it with me. A commitment that weathers changes in personality, behavior, and physical attraction. A love that can last a lifetime. It's a promise that endures the inconsistency of human emotions, a commitment that weathers changes in personality, behavior, and physical attraction, and a love that can last a lifetime. So, chesed is rooted in a promise, but it's a love that requires sacrifice. Hosea 3:2. So I bought her back for 15 pieces of silver, a homer and a lethic. Everybody say lethic. A lethic of barley and a wineskin full of wine. Now remember I told you that Gomer became a prostitute? Well, here's how we know that. Because Hosea had to buy her back out of the house of prostitution. He had to buy her back. He had to go to her pimp and give him money to get his wife back. How bad is that? So he pays 15 shekels of silver plus a homer and a lethic of barley, whatever that is, and a full wineskin. But I believe there's a reason for these precise figures. According to the law of Moses, the price of a slave was how many shekels of silver? 30, very good. Exodus 21, verse 32. But Hosea didn't have 30 shekels of silver. He had already maxed out his visa. And he had to come up with the additional 15 shekels. So what did he come up with? A homer and a lethic. A home run. And that equals about 7.5 bushels of barley, and a wineskin full of wine. Now, I don't know this for a fact, but I was asking the Lord, you know, well, how much is that? What came to mind was one of those 3-liter Gallo jugs. Okay? So 7.5 bushels of barley plus this 3-liter jug of Gallo wine made up for the 15 shekels that he needed to make 30 shekels so he could redeem his wife. Buy his wife back. Sacrificial love. He had to sacrifice to do that. Now, isn't that a beautiful picture of what Jesus did for us? That Jesus loved us so much that he sacrificed everything to purchase us and bring us back to the Father. So chesed is sacrificial love. One person described it this way. Chesed is a bone-weary father who drives through the night to bail his drug addict son out of jail. Chesed is a mom who spends day after thankless day spoon-feeding and wiping up after her disabled child. Chesed is an unsung pastor's wife whose long-suffering, tearful prayers keep her exhausted husband from falling apart at the seams. Hopefully no pastors in this congregation. Chesed is love that can be counted on decade after decade, often at great personal sacrifice. So chesed is rooted in a promise, requires sacrifice. Finally, chesed is a love that requires faithfulness because it promises faithfulness. After buying her back and taking her home, Hosea says to Gomer, chapter 3, verse 3, "Now you are mine. You will have to remain faithful to me, and I will be the same way toward you." Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. Now you're mine. You are mine. You are my Valentine. You are mine. I have purchased you back. You will have to remain faithful to me. There's a little bit of a requirement here, but here's the catch. And I will be the same way toward you. I will be faithful to you. I will be unwavering, unshakable, unrelentless in my love for you. I will never give up on you. So don't give up on me. Thirteen years ago, my parents, blessed memory, they celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary a little less than 2 months before my father passed away. What did I say? 70th? Man, I'm having a real memory problem here, huh? Thank you, Randy. Take over my family, man. You're like Paul Orman. Paul Orman always tells me things about me that I don't know about myself. So you've joined the club, Randy. You're telling me things that, how did I forget that? Right. Wow, 70 years. That's even better. Yeah, 70 years. And so, yeah, my prayer for my parents for many years was that they would celebrate, they would be able to celebrate their 70th, you're sure now, their 70th wedding anniversary, and that they would both live to 90 years old. So August 29th, 2003, they celebrated their 70th wedding anniversary. September 14th, amen, my father turned 90. October 18th, he passed away. Wow. And then 4 years later, my mother turned 90 a month, passed away a month after she turned 90. So God answered my prayers. They both lived to 90, and they celebrated their 70th wedding anniversary. Why do I say this? The love I saw between them was not so much newlywed romance, but a faithful commitment to each other to travel through all life's fluctuations, highs and lows, ups and downs. Do we all know those? Yeah, we do. And I believe this is the kind of love the Lord is looking for and that we will be rewarded for when we hear him say on that day, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. You were unwavering, you were unfailing, you were unrelenting. You loved with a love that would not let go. You learned to love." How many of you want to hear those words? Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to close this morning with a God encounter that I had that changed my life and still impacting my life to this day. You probably have heard of a man. Many of you have heard of this man. Does anybody recognize him? Bob Jones. Bob Jones is with the Lord now. And Bob Jones had an amazing prophetic ministry, but he was more than a prophet. He was a seer. And as a seer, what does seers do? Seers see, they see things. They see into the heavenly realms. Well, I was in Kansas City, but this is back in 1988. And I was at a conference, and Bob Jones was speaking, and he was sharing something that he saw. And what he saw in this vision that he had was people on earth passing away, dying. And one at a time, each person was coming before the Lord, before Jesus. And Jesus asked each person the same exact question. And you can guess what that question was. Did you learn to love? Very good, Nick. And when he said that, did you learn to love? I fell on the ground. I began to weep and to wail because I knew that I could not say yes. I knew that I had not learned to love. So from that day on, I mean this, every day I began to pray, Lord, teach me to love. Teach me to love. 2 years later, I met my wife and Nicholas and Megan. Nicholas was 3 years old. Megan was 1 year old. And the rest, as they say, is history. Now, it's 23 years later, and I can honestly say I'm growing in love, but I'm still learning to love. I'm not ready yet to meet the Lord and say, yes, I've learned to love. But I'm in faith I'm going to get there. How about you? I believe God is teaching us to love. He died on Valentine's Day. Are you serious? Wow. How many years ago? 3 years ago. Wow. Well, each of us this morning, I think, are in situations where we're learning to love, whether as a husband or a wife or a parent or a son or a daughter, working your job or driving a car, you're in circumstances in your life where you are learning to love. And we can't chesed love without God's help. I can't. We can only give love to the extent that we receive love. And I appreciate what Randy was doing at the end of our worship time, just focusing on the love of God. Well, this morning as we close, I want to prophesy over you. It's not my prophecy, but another man's prophecy that I believe has anointing and power to it. So let's please stand. And this is my prayer this morning, according to Ephesians 3:18, that you may know the love, the chesed of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This prophecy I'm going to read over you was given by a man named Joshua Mills. Some of you may know of him. He's an internationally recognized recording artist, keynote conference speaker, author, and visionary, who worships and preaches by standing within the cloud, ministering directly from the glory. It's a good place to prophesy from. So I want to read this prophetic word over you this morning, believing that the Holy Spirit wants to give impartation of this kind of love, this chesed love, into your heart. So let's pray. It's not a bad idea, Nick. Nick said, can we hold hands together? Good idea. Let's do that. Father, we thank you this morning.
Make that sound, Jimmy.
For this special day, Valentine's Day. Father, we thank you that you sent your Valentine, your son, into the world that we could know how much you love us. That we could know how great is your love, that your love is unfailing, unshakable, unrelenting, steadfast, a love that will never forsake us. I ask, Holy Spirit, as I read this prophetic word, Spirit of God, that you would bring deeper revelation of the love of God and the Son of God, who is the fullness of the love of God. That you would reveal the love of Yeshua, of Jesus, more deeply in our hearts. Receiving your love, God, so that we could truly give your love to our spouse, our wife, our husband, our children, our neighbor. The lonely and the lost. So Lord, we just extend our hands and hearts to you now as we let this word just fill us. Open up, let my love, my chesed love, fill you completely. There are still places inside of you that have yet to be filled with my love. Open up even more and see that I will release an increase of my love in you that will bring forth an increase of my power through you. My perfect love flowing into you right now is causing fears and failures to disappear. I am releasing my chesed to you today that new miracles might begin to appear. Let go of past disappointments or even feelings of guilt and shame. For even as my love washes over you right now, you will never be the same. Let my love increase. Let my love increase to you. Let my love increase in you. Let my love increase through you. I desire to fill you with my chesed so that you might be able to release my chesed everywhere you go. For know that there are many people who are waiting, relying, depending upon my love. And yet the only way they will be able to receive it fully is as I release it through you, my chosen vessel. Open up today that I might fill you more, causing my love, my chesed, to spill over and overflow in rivers of love. Let my chesed fill you completely, says the Lord. Now just take a moment just to receive. Say yes. Thank you that you're teaching us to love and that we're learning to love you and one another. Well, we know that nothing else really matters in life. Certainly nothing will matter at the end of our life than that one question. Did you learn to love? Father, help us all be able to say on that day, yes, Lord, by grace, I learned to love. So that we can hear those precious words, God, well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Enter into the joy of your master. For you've been faithful in your love. In Jesus' name. Amen.